This is Haystack Help Radio on KLZ 560. Haystack Help Radio is powered by HaystackHelp.com. Finding help can be like finding a needle in a haystack. But with HaystackHelp.com, finding the needle just got easier. Now, Haystack Help Radio with Scott Watley on KLZ 560.
Good afternoon and welcome to Haystack Help Radio. Thank you so much for joining us today. It is the Legal Hour with our good friend Kevin Flesch. Kevin's number for a free consultation. Anytime you need something in that legal realm, give him a call. 303-806-8886. 303-806-8886. It is Flesch and Beck Law. And his website is fleschlawfirm.com. That's F-L-E-S-C-H lawfirm.com. With that, we will welcome Mr. Flesch. How are you, sir?
I'm fantastic, Scott. It's just a great time of year.
It is.
I love the fall.
It is, yeah. A little change in the temperatures last couple of days.
You know, we get a little snow, we get the leaves down. It's pretty nice today. It looks like it's going to be nice this weekend.
Yep.
A little moisture for the dogs so that they can smell the birds, all kinds of stuff.
Yes, all that stuff, good stuff.
Yes.
We'll reflect a little bit. Yesterday, we had George Brockler on, running for Attorney General. And, before he really got into this, like I say, I don't do much with political shows, but I really didn't realize how big that job is for Attorney General.
It is.
That's a big deal.
It is a big deal. And he's the district attorney of Arapahoe County, which arguably is one of the biggest case volume counties in the state as well. I've known George for a long time. I remember him as a prosecutor in Jefferson County before he kind of got into the political realm. And he and I have been on and off, known each other and have been friends for quite some time. And obviously, when I'm doing defense work, criminal defense work, and he's the prosecutor, the lead prosecutor, right? Because he doesn't try a lot of cases other than the big cases now. But you don't get to see him as often, nor do you have the sort of contact because he's got employees that are supposed to be taking care of a lot of cases. But, it is a big job. That attorney general, and you don't realize the amount of work that they do until I'll see them. I see them in several contexts. One is bringing cases that the state finds important in individual counties, things like Medicare fraud, fraud of the unemployment system. So I've represented a number of people where they've had unemployment and yet then they were going to start work somewhere else and they kept that unemployment going for a while they were working. The Attorney General's office prosecutes those sorts of cases to get that money back for the state. So I've represented folks in that capacity. And then you see it a lot on the civil side, employment defense. So if you bring a claim against the state for any reason for an employee of the state, the Attorney General is always involved. They handle all of the appeals for the criminal and many of the unemployment hearings and other things that the state has. So it's a really diversified office. And as he explained yesterday, there's a lot of resources in the sense of employees. I mean, there's 500 people, I think, that work for the AG's office, and then just the budget. So it's a substantial position, and I think he's really ready for it. And I think his interview yesterday showed that. I mean, we could have spent all afternoon talking
about,
you know, the individual issues that are there. And this election is so much about that when you start really looking at whatever your political persuasion is, really looking at the candidates, that you have clear distinctions on both sides in almost every race.
If you just look at pure qualifications.
Yeah. Oh, he's got them.
Man.
Yeah. And, you know, Weiser, he was calling him the professor yesterday. It's true. I mean, that's what he's in academia, and he's been in the political realm. And if that's what you want for an attorney general, then he's your perfect candidate. But, I mean, that's not what I want. And I don't think the majority of Colorado, no matter what color they are in the sense of political persuasion, whether they're Republican or Democrat, should really be looking at that position and say, do we really want an activist that really doesn't understand how to run a prosecution office or a civil defense office to be running that? Because that's really what we're talking about when you're talking about the Attorney General. And it's not one of those positions that very often, you know, you have this competitive of a race and the race that it seems to be as important as this next election is relating to the issues that we're dealing with, especially relating to 112 and what's going on with the idea with this fracking and the elimination, essentially, mm-hmm. of all the oil and gas exploration and that industry in the state, if that gets passed. I mean, that's going to be devastating for that industry, the tax revenues from that industry, which trickle down to our schools and everything else. You got to vote no on 112.
Sure.
But at any rate, so yeah, it was fun. And it was fun mm-hmm. to see him in that context and be able to have a conversation with him. And it's really, I mean, there's an example of how the law interrelates with everyday life, where you don't really think it will, but that's a position that certainly does, and it impacts what happens in the state.
Right. And I liked his answer, too. You asked him the question about, you know, hey, we hope Mr. Stapleton wins,
yeah.
but what if Polis wins? And he said, hey, I approach them both
right.
pretty much the same way, you know.
That's exactly right. And he's got, and that's what you want to hear from mm-hmm. these candidates. You want to hear from them, listen, I've got a particular political persuasion, but if I get the job, I'm the attorney for the governor. And as much, and our system is built on that, and that's how our system should work. It shouldn't be based upon the person that's in the office in the sense of what happens. It should be based upon the law and what the voters have said. And so that's why next Tuesday is so important.
And it is. So.
Yeah.
Hope everyone will get out and vote for sure. Well, as I mentioned, this is Legal Hour, and a lot of times we talk about personal injury, different things like that, and different things that affect your case. I want to get to that, but I thought we'd just take this first segment. We are getting that time now. Holiday parties are going to be starting, which means usually alcohol,
yep.
which can usually turn to disaster pretty quick.
Correct.
DUIs, accidents, deaths. All that. So.
Yeah, especially in the metro area right now, we have so many opportunities to have alternative transportation in the sense of Uber, Lyft, and all of the other opportunities that people have, light rail, you know, whatever it is. If you've had any cocktails, you need to just give your keys up and make sure someone else is driving for you, period. Especially the way the population has grown here. We have traffic no matter what time of day. I go into the office early, mm-hmm. early sometimes, and there's still people on the road.
Sure.
Same thing with late at night. And you know, and I know, because I've talked to police officers about this, you know, you get after 11, 12 o'clock at night on any weekend night in the Denver metro area, and the police are looking for people that are impaired. And, you know, the police are trained to really look at your driving to see if there are things that, just based upon the way that you're driving, are you impaired by something? You know, we also talk about the fact that we shouldn't be looking at our phones and texting and doing all the other things distracted driving-wise during the day. But especially at night, after you've had some alcohol, you can't do it. And the bottom line is the same thing with marijuana. It's legal in the state. Mm-hmm. I know that. You know that. Everybody is aware of it. And whether you're smoking it or you're eating edibles or whatever you're doing in the holiday season, that's still impaired driving in the event that you're over a certain level of nanograms in your system. And those nanograms aren't very high. I mean, it's, you know, especially for folks that may smoke or use marijuana on a regular basis, the law really hasn't dealt with the chronic user of marijuana. And so even when you may have not consumed on a particular day, your THC levels, because they're stored in the fatty parts of your body, they're the fatty cells, can still show a THC level that are above the presumption. And there's, so the interesting thing is the legislature hasn't given us a hard line relating to the THC levels, but as the cases progress and as the experts testify, we know that a certain level, 10, 15 nanograms of THC in your bloodstream at any one given time, it gives the prosecution an argument that you're impaired.
Right.
And so the combination of the two, alcohol and marijuana, for these holiday parties, if you're out there doing both of those intoxicants at the same time, you have to be really careful. So the best thing to do is, if you're going to do anything like that and you're going to go to a party and you know that that's going on, you just have an alternative plan. And then you're fine.
Sure.
You get home, and yeah, you spent a little bit of money. You may have to go get your vehicle the next day, whatever. You've saved yourself a whole bunch of money and a whole bunch of time. You know, I just am in the process of working on a case right now for a person that got a boating under the influence. And there are all kinds of implications relating to that and whether she was putting the boat in the water. So she also was charged with the DUI because they contacted her 15 minutes later in the boat, and she was clearly impaired from their perspective. So what do you do about the driver's license? It's just all of these things that if you're going to do anything in regards to mental impairment, just don't get behind the wheel of anything.
Sure. What can businesses do, real quick, we're going to hit this 2-8, what can businesses do, and then what can we do as homeowners and friends of people if we have a house party during this time? But what can businesses do? I mean, so let's say, you know, Crawford Brock has a Christmas party, and maybe it's at a restaurant, maybe it's at the office, whatever. I mean, should they say, at least in print, you know, hey, you know, two drinks per person or whatever. I mean, what safe guidelines?
Well, I mean, we just saw it with the Broncos, right?
For the
Halloween party.
Right.
I mean, well, it's not the Broncos, but it was Von Miller. I mean, Von Miller had, it sounded like, I mean, so the things that you're looking for in the bottom line is being reasonable in their efforts to protect the individuals who are at the party from getting into trouble. Now, legally, a social host doesn't have any real liability for someone that leaves your party and goes to and goes down the road intoxicated and kills someone. The commercial hosts, the people that have restaurants or bars that are over-serving individuals and then allowing them to leave, they do have an obligation, and they do have liability, and we've had a number of those cases. And those cases are interesting because it comes down to a fact decision about what that individual or bartender, you know, the individual serving them knew, and whether or not that was reasonable in the way of when they should have cut them off in their consumption of alcohol or other. I mean, it's really alcohol. That's really what we're talking about. So the individual or company that has the party at a restaurant, for example. So if you're looking at a business that goes to a restaurant and has a party and they're allowing alcohol to be consumed. Well, that restaurant or bar still has the obligation to determine whether or not the person that's consuming the alcohol has been overserved, because they always have the end of the road responsibility. Right. So that's one way of a business being able to limit their liabilities. You have it somewhere where someone else's responsibility to make sure that that's okay, that they don't overserve them. If you have it at a person's home or that sort of, you know, if you have a house party or you have a neighborhood get together, again, it's a little bit different relating to the social host, because the social host doesn't have those responsibilities. But let's face it, as human beings, we should take that into consideration. So Von Miller is a good example, at least what I've read about the reporting of that party. Bouncers.
Mm-hmm. Security.
Security. Maybe. Wristbands. And then they had the ability to put somebody in a cab or an Uber or a Lyft immediately. Well, like, you can't get much better than that. Mm-hmm. I mean, and Chad Kelly found out what happens in the event that you're not the best party goer and don't know where your residence is and you lose your job. I mean, his is a great example of why you just get into a car, give them your address, let them figure out a way to get you home when you get home.
Yeah.
Because you can lose your job.
Sure.
I mean, with the DUI, there's so many other things. You lose your license for a period of time, depending upon the content of the alcohol in your system. You may have to have an interlock device up to 2 years in your vehicle, which is a real pain to have to do. You can't drive other people's vehicles. You can't put an interlock that I'm aware of on a motorcycle. So if you're into motorcycles, you can't do that for the period of time that you're under suspension.
Can anybody drive your vehicle that has the interlock?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah, they can. And in fact, now a lot of the interlock devices have video. So when you do have that issue, I've had that come up where somebody else is blowing into the interlock when supposedly the person that has the interlock is driving. But yeah, another person can drive. That's not a problem. But they're going to show up as somebody else. And so there may be a question from DMV at some point, why are you having somebody else do that?
And like you said, there are so many options today.
Right.
And just have a plan.
Just have
said that a million times.
No, we have. Yeah. So, I mean, that's the easy answer for me, right? But I still have a steady stream of folks that get DUIs in this and that are coming in for us for defense. And I would certainly like to see that lesson and hope that people take what they're doing into consideration and just have a plan, but it still comes up.
Yeah. You're listening to Haystack Help Radio. It's the Legal Hour with Kevin Flesh. We come back, we're going to talk about some personal injury and give you some tips there. 303-806-8886 is Kevin's number, fleshlawfirm.com. We'll be right back.
Without changing your budget, own your home faster. Take AIM, 720-895-0500. Many of our clients have learned to pay less interest to the bank, not change their spending habits, and own their home faster. Affordable Interest Mortgage has a possible solution. 720-895-0500. Does your current loan allow you to access your equity without refinancing for another loan at higher rates? Does your current loan allow your equity to make your mortgage payment without late fees or dinging your credit? At AIM, we have a loan that allows you those freedoms, all for 30 years. This could be the last loan you need. Pay off your home faster, pay less interest to the bank, access your equity when you need it, skip payments. Call AIM for details, 720-895-0500. If you're tired of paying all that interest up front on a traditional 30-year fixed, call 720-895-0500 and let us save you thousands. Home of the Asset Manager, locally owned and operated, where it is all about you. 720-895-0500. Regulated by DOR, NMLS 298-191, Equal Credit Lender.
Let me tell you about one of my favorite stores, The Outdoorsman's Attic, a consignment store for all of your adventure outdoor gear. Hunting, fishing, camping, kayaks, live bait, survival gear, backpacks, sleeping bags, firearms, and ammo. Save 20, 30, 40, and even 50% on new and pre-owned items at The Outdoorsman's Attic. Mention Sportsman of Colorado and save up to 20% on your purchase. This offer excludes firearms and ammo. Never pay retail again. Big savings and friendly service is what you'll find at The Outdoorsman's Attic, located at 2650 West Hamden Avenue in Sheridan. 303-781-3626. That's 303-781-3626. Check them out, outdoorsmansattic.com.
What could you do with an extra $500, $1,000, or even $1,500 per month? How would that change things for you? Would you buy a new car, pay off bills, or just feel a bit more secure about your retirement? What if I told you there's a way to make your dreams a reality? I'm talking about trading and investing in the market. Now, before you say, oh, that's not for me, just hear me out. I want to invite you to a half-day trading course so you can check this out. I promise you, you'll go away smarter than when you came in. We here at Online Trading Academy sponsor this, and we'll even send you home with a free home study video guide. Your money's doing nothing for you in a CD or mutual fund. Learn how to profit when the market's up or down. Call us now while seats are still available at 303-325-2776. Use offer code RADIO50. 303-325-2776. That's 303-325-2776.
Rush to Reason with John Rush, weekdays from 3 to 7 on KLZ 560.
Welcome back to the Legal Hour with Kevin Flesh. My name is Scott Watley, and we appreciate you being with us. You know, Kevin, when we talk about our accidents, first of all, except for the hour I sit here, I'm in my car, and I'm telling you, you cannot go hardly 2 or 3 miles without seeing an accident somewhere.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, they are. I don't know how many we have and how many go unreported, you know, just what we call fender benders. But, man, there are accidents everywhere.
Especially like the other day where we had the snow, just a little skip of snow. There were people sliding all over. No, I agree with you. Yeah, it's amazing. And you know, so many. So what I found is certainly it seems that I have job security, I think, because we have more and more people coming into the metro area and we have more and more congestion on the roads, and it just leads to more and more accidents, it seems like. But the other thing that I'm seeing a lot of is distracted drivers, people doing other things in their vehicles. I mean, you think of all the things we can do in our vehicles now.
I know.
Even 10 years ago.
Sure.
I mean, it's crazy, the screens and everything else that we have. And what, I mean, I took a poll not too long ago from my office about, we spent a couple of weeks just talking about the different things that people do in rush hour, because we're having to spend more time in rush hour, you know, eating breakfast, reading the paper when people used to do that, you know, putting on makeup. I mean, it just runs the gamut as to what people are doing. So you've got to be really defensive in your driving out there because, and I think, especially in those days where we have a little bit of weather, you know, and they go on accident alert, I think there's a bunch of accidents that, that
and
don't report.
And now, real quick, it's going to be getting dark at like 4:30.
I know.
I hate that.
Right?
But, I mean, it does. It gets dark. Yeah. And, man, temperatures go down.
The other thing that I have noticed, and maybe I'm just more wary of it, too, is people that are, I don't know if they don't, they've got automatic lights and the lights aren't coming on, or they've switched it to just a certain light, and the lights are pretty good now,
yeah,
you know, with just the sort of running lights. But But the people don't realize they don't have any brake lights on. Mm-hmm. And maybe it's because of the time of day that I'm driving around, early morning or late evening. I just see that a lot. And, you know, I feel bad, but I'm like hitting my brights on the people and saying, hey, you don't have any brake lights. You can't right. see the back end of your vehicle. I don't know if everybody else feels the same way, but it's just like, and I've had a few people get a little annoyed. I'm like, I can tell your running lights are on, mm-hmm. but they don't know that they're actual light lights. I think because of these LED lights and everything, they are pretty good.
Yep.
So really can run with just the running lights, but it doesn't mm-hmm. help and it's not safe.
Yeah, for sure.
And it's a good example of late at night when people get pulled over.
Because they don't have lights.
Yeah.
On.
Yep. And they think they do and it's their running lights, but the police will pull you over immediately, especially after 11 o'clock at night, because that's another way that, you know, they have to have a reason to pull you over. They can't just randomly decide that they're going to start chatting with you. So that's a good example of where people are pulled over, and it's because of that. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad, because people get hurt.
Yeah.
Especially that time of day.
So let's talk about, you know, victims of car accidents and other negligent claims that can, where people, they can kind of be their own worst enemy. I mean, they can, you know, really, really hurt their case right from the get-go. So what are a few tips there?
Yeah, so, you know, one of the things that you have to think about when you're making a claim for injuries is there's just so many advertisements and there's so much media out there about the sort of the McDonald's case, the hot coffee case that you ask anybody about a personal injury case and fraud and that sort of thing, and that case comes up. And there are so many times where I have conversations with clients that they miss the boat in the sense that they think that everybody is going to believe them relating to a claim that they make. And so when somebody gets hurt, the first thing you want to do is you want to document that event that has happened. And you want to do that in a way that no one later can say that it wasn't clear that, number one, who you think is at fault for your injuries and what that person did was the cause of those injuries. It's so important to get that from the beginning and have that credible report made and consistently talked about throughout the process of the case. And the reason that that's important is because if you can prove by other evidence that the act actually occurred, you know, you're halfway home. Because if a person, you know, makes statements at the scene, for example, that they're sorry, that it was their fault, well, that's an admission of guilt that can be used at trial. And those sorts of things are really important to make sure that are documented. Well, if you don't report any of those things and you don't really do anything about it for 2 weeks to a month later, all of that sort of credibility kind of goes out the window, because the person that will be sitting in a jury or a claim rep back in an insurance company somewhere else looking at the claim will say, why did it take someone that long if their injuries were this bad? Right. And so the idea is what a reasonable person would believe took place and can prove why they didn't react faster. And certainly there are reasons for that.
Sure.
But when talking with people about, you know, what are the things that you can do to help yourself? The first thing is making sure that you report an accident, for example, a car accident. You know, we talk so often about call the police, have them come over.
I was just going to say, you always say, because there are fender benders, there is lies, somebody just slides into somebody, but you say that documentation is worth everything.
It is very much worth that. But I'll give you an example. We just had a case yesterday, or last Friday, we filed it, and they did a police report. The other person was cited, which was good. We got the specific location of the accident, and the police officer that came out actually had the accident in Arapahoe County. My client thought it was Arapahoe County, but because the report was done and because they had actually given us good documentation about where the location of the accident was, it was actually in Denver County, which, in my opinion, Denver County for a plaintiff is better than Arapahoe County. If I had just gone along with what my client was saying and sort of what was reported to us, we probably would have filed the case in Arapahoe. But because I have a police report from a police officer that indicates exactly where the location is, I could file it in Denver and probably not and hold off someone saying, oh, it looks like it's an Arapo case when it wasn't, because it's actually the dividing line. We were on one side of the street. And without that report, I wouldn't be able to do that. And it may affect what I get for an outcome in the case, because I think jurors in Denver have a tendency to give a little bit more money than jurors in Arapahoe. So it's those sorts of things that help you down the road, things that you don't even think about. And things that, you know, the other thing that people forget is that these cases take a long time. Takes you a long time to heal, especially if you have significant injuries. And these sorts of reports that police do and that we get from the scene are things that we can use later when your memory isn't very good, when you've forgotten, where you maybe have had a closed head injury or a concussion and don't know, and we can put that piece of that puzzle together without you as the main witness for your own case.
Right.
So that's why it's really important. And the other thing that we find out sometimes is that if you don't have a police officer show up, sometimes people are dishonest. Sometimes they don't give you the true information about their identity or about insurance or things like that that a police officer can normally figure out and take care of.
And when you talk about that, you know, whole kind of collecting evidence right there, I mean, it's good to make some notes right then, because, you know what, our memories fade pretty quickly.
Yeah.
And you just remember things different.
You do.
You know?
Oh, I've had cases where I've had clients that were certain that a particular event happened a certain way, and the defense will give us a video. Slip and falls are a good example of that, where they'll say, well, this is what was going on, and this is what I perceived. And the person, the victim's perception of what's taken place and what we have for video evidence sometimes is starkly different. And sometimes good, sometimes bad. But it's definitely something that is really beneficial for me, because in our society today, most people trust a mechanical video, you know, something other than witness testimony. They want to see that over someone telling them about it.
Sure.
It's just the way that we're wired these days because of all of the devices we have and everything that we've learned from them. I mean, police have got body cameras now. We're relying on on all sorts of camera things, and cameras can be deceptive, because I've had those cases too where particular angles and other things can, but for the most part it's a benefit. So what's important is at the scene, you've called the police, you're documenting, you know, what's taking place, you're getting good evidence about what how the accident occurred, you're taking pictures if you can of the way that the vehicles have impacted each other, and because you're not supposed to, we're really not supposed to move our vehicles unless you're in traffic. And those pictures, even if you have to move your vehicle, take a few pictures if you can for safety purposes. If you're in the middle of I-25 and there's traffic whizzing around you, probably don't want to do it there. But anywhere else where you're safe to do it, get pictures, because those are going to be really important later, especially if your memory isn't very good.
Right. And, you know, we've talked about this, too. Usually, if you're, again, not at fault, sometimes within 24 hours, but most certainly within 72 hours, most of the time that the other insurance company is going to call you.
Yep.
And how are you?
Yeah.
Hope you're feeling
good. Yeah,
you know,
really sorry about what's happened to you.
You can really hurt yourself there. And, again, we're not talking about it being dishonest.
No.
We're not talking about, you know, but just say, hey, maybe. Hey, I need, you need to call me back another time.
Yeah. And this is the thing. People are always so willing to admit that they're feeling pretty good. I mean, you want to be as positive as you can about it. Most people do. And that those are the sorts of statements, especially at the accident scene, for example, and you were a good example of that, where we talked about when you had the rear end a few years ago. You know, you want to say you're not injured at the time because you got all this adrenaline and everything else. And police officers have told me they will normally check the box, no injuries, except for when there's actually blood coming out of somebody. Yeah, but the insurance company uses that. That's going to be a blow up at some point. If, for example, you haven't called, you know, you haven't gone to the doctor right away, and there's a bunch of time that's elapsed, and there's question as to whether or not you were hurt before, they're going to blow up that police report and say no injury and really talk about it in closing argument. So you want to make sure that when you talk to people, when you have the reports, when you talk to insurance, that you're not too quick when you really are hurt to say that you're fine. I mean, I know it's difficult for people to do because they want to be positive about it. At the same time, it'll be used against them later. So the best thing to do is say nothing, right, if you're not sure.
Sure.
Or Secondarily, if you're not sure, say, I'm not sure. This is what I'm kind of feeling like right now, and it hasn't gotten any better, and I'm going to get some medical treatment.
Because inevitably, those first few days, maybe you do feel okay, but I'm telling you, that soreness hits very quick.
That third day.
Yeah.
Yeah, and there's studies on it that your general rear end with a whiplash going 5-10 miles an hour, depending upon how you're looking. If you're looking sideways, there's lots of ways that you can hurt your body, especially right now with the way the vehicles are made. The vehicles are made to take some of the impact, but it's going to take the thing inside of a motor vehicle is going to be caused injury,
right?
Even at those low speeds, and you just got to make sure you document it, and you don't want to say things that are going to hurt you later. Yeah. And that's what I'm always trying to help people about.
303-477-5600 is our number. It's the Legal Hour. If you've got any kind of legal question, we will take your call. This is Haystack Help Radio.
This is Steve Hurley with Affordable Interest Mortgage. I'm reaching out to you to help answer questions regarding the value of a reverse mortgage. You've heard both sides. I'm dedicated to helping seniors. The reason, like you, I am a senior and a veteran. Our wants and needs are different when compared to years past. Give me a call at 720-895-0500. Remember, take aim. Call me, Steve Hurley, at 720-895-0500. NMLS number 243-200. Regulated by DORA, an equal opportunity lender.
Flesh and Beck are the attorneys you need after you've been injured due to the reckless actions of a drunk driver. Often victims of drunk driving accidents are forced to turn to their own insurance protection coverage to get their cars fixed and medical bills paid before receiving compensation, even though the drunk driver was at fault for the accident. When you are in an accident caused by someone who chose to drink and drive, unfortunately, getting the compensation you deserve isn't always as easy as you'd think. Insurance companies will bend over backwards to avoid a lawsuit, but only if they think they'll lose. And insurance companies know that if a lawsuit is leveled by a serious attorney and it goes to trial, the jury is allowed to decide on a monetary award for a sympathetic plaintiff who's been hit by a drunk driver. So a smaller injury settlement is in their best interest. Don't get taken advantage of. Don't settle for less than what you deserve. Call Flesh and Beck today at 303-806-8886 for the representation that will hold their feet to the fire and get you all the compensation that you deserve.
Hi, this is Scott Whatley. Now, many times you hear your radio host like me say something like, let me tell you about my friends at, then we'll talk about a sponsor that we truly believe in and endorse. Well, in this case, let me tell you about a company that really is part of my family. Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center. For over 13 years, we have trusted our furry family members to this wonderful staff. At Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center, they believe that all pets deserve to have a good life, and their goal is to help you keep your pets happy and healthy throughout their life by providing complete pet care services every day, all at one location. We love the Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center boarding lodge, and your pet will too. Your pet will receive one-on-one care and attention throughout their stay. Open 7 days a week for your convenience. Check them out. Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center, located at 8681 Lincoln Avenue in Lone Tree. 303-708-8050. 303-708-8050. Or check them out online at lonetreevet.com.
Ladies, I know you're tired of walking into the local gun store and seeing the same old thing. So let me tell you about Rampart Firearms. Just a quarter mile up Highway 67 off of Santa Fe and Sedalia, you will find a great selection of guns, ammo, tactical, and personal defense weapons. And if you or your spouse love to hunt, Rampart Firearms is a great stop for all of your hunting needs. Shotguns, rifles, pistols, anything from predator hunting to your next big game trip. Head to Rampart Firearms at the foot of the Rockies. Open 6 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. And you will only pay a 4% tax on your purchase. RampartFirearms.com, 720-468-0050. That's 720-468-0050.
Denver's Afternoon Rush. Rush to Reason is coming up at 3. Now, back to Haystack Help Radio.
Welcome back to the Legal Hour with Kevin Flesh. My name is Scott Whatley. Again, we'll open up our phone lines. If you've got a legal question, we'll take your call. 303-477-5600. Talking a little bit about things you can do to hurt your case in a personal injury, and giving some tips there. And you know, we mentioned all the body cameras and all the different things, Kevin, and we were just talking during the break. You know, now with we've got that ring on our doorbell, so
yeah.
Anytime there's motion at my door now, man, I can push a button on my phone and see who's right there. I can talk to them through my phone through that door,
right?
And you know, look at all the stoplight cameras. I mean, you go to any mall anywhere, I mean, you about better figure you're on camera wherever you are.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And what happens is, so our experience with that is that those cameras, I've got a case right now we're trying to track down. Client was assaulted in a road rage sort of situation in a King Supers parking lot. We know that King Supers had the video cameras, so the Halo cameras in the parking lot, and so we're trying to get that video evidence. Normally, entities keep that evidence for about 2 weeks, and so if you're within that two-week time period, you can try to retrieve that voluntarily. If you can't, if they're not willing to give it to you voluntarily, then you're going to have some sort of subpoena power. Normally, if it, like in the case that I was talking about with the assault, the police have the ability to get it, and normally the businesses will give it to the police. Mm-hmm. And so we're really chasing the Glendale police over this particular case because we think it's, my client was really badly injured from what took place. He was dragged by a car, and so pretty complicated case. But at any rate, it's one of those things where that's certainly something, when we're talking about a car accident, that you want to get somebody involved right away and get that evidence, because that evidence can be really critical, especially where the other party is suggesting that you're at fault for it, or there's a real issue as to liability. Those sorts of video evidence can be very compelling later on as you get closer to a demand or actual trial. And the other thing that we were talking about, I think from an email or a text or somebody relating to recording in Colorado, how does that recording legally, what can you record? And of course, the law says in Colorado that except for a certain types of people like law enforcement or lawyers, we can't record things without telling the other side. But if you're just a normal civilian, you can record a conversation that you're involved with. So one person in the conversation has to know that it's being recorded.
Which is you.
Right.
Okay.
Right. So that's always something that when people ask me, well, what can I record? Well, you can record anything that you're involved in. And so we have the technology now that we can do that pretty easily. And in some circumstances, that has been really beneficial because it just substantiates certain pieces of evidence that are really important sometimes when people deny certain evidence or they deny saying certain things. It's helpful to have those recordings. And so people can do that on their own. They can't do it. I can't direct somebody for me to do it because attorneys can't record things without telling both sides.
Gotcha.
And there's some real ethical reasons that happens. But I would agree with what we were talking about to begin with. The fact is that most places you probably are. I mean, you're talking about the person at your door with the doorbell. Probably you have the ability with that app when you're talking with them to hit another button and record the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's very possible.
Yeah, and you can snap a picture.
Yeah.
Whatever.
And it's really fantastic. Mm-hmm. I mean, when you think about it. And I think it's only beneficial. I had a case, you know, 5 years ago of a slip and fall where if we would have had a picture of where the gal had fallen and what it looked like, the jurors would have found in her favor. When I first started practicing law, the jurors, if you would have had a picture like that, they would have said, oh, you must have been setting something up so that you could sue someone. Now people just expect that you're going to do that to protect yourself and that that's something that they want. And it's not that you're creating a lawsuit in the beginning stages of this sort of claim. And so it's just interesting what jurors' opinions are and what they think you should have. Which is very different in the span that I've even practiced law in.
Right.
So that's good. I mean, I think that's helpful that you don't have to worry about having someone question your ethics relating to why did you get all this information? They want it, and they find it really beneficial.
Sure. Another couple of ways I think you can hurt your case is this. One, first of all, trying to do it yourself.
Yes.
Two, getting your friend that's a bankruptcy attorney to handle your case.
I would agree with that. Yeah, that's right. And having lawyer. So the lawyer comment, especially where they have another specialty that they're not involved in the personal injury realm at all, causes some real problems. And I've seen and I've had cases where we've taken it over from people that didn't know what they're doing. I think secondarily is making decisions based upon what somebody tells you that just doesn't have any legal experience and only talks about what may or may not have happened in their own case and trying to figure it out on your own. I mean, there's just the system isn't set up to make that a profitable venture for you. Mm-hmm. And that's why we have free consultations, because there's there's absolutely no obligation other than your time. And and generally people learn things about what they should be doing, so that's of benefit. And then at the end, when they do retain us, they realize the value at the end of how we really have helped them through the whole process. And that's why it's important to get us involved in the beginning. To harvest that evidence that will help you later on to recognize the issues that you have, to also figure out what insurance coverages are available to you. I mean, a lot of people don't know, you know, whether they have MedPay or not, whether or not they're what they were doing at the time may be characterized as a workers' compensation claim, and the fact that they've got to make a claim, because if they don't, they may be capped at a certain amount of damages. There's all kinds of interrelations of the law that come together in a personal injury case like this that people just aren't aware of until it's too late sometimes.
Right. So what do you say that person that is maybe trying to handle this on their own, they're listening to the show and they're saying like, man, I wonder if I have messed up. I mean, what does that consultation look like if they want to call you just to kind of get you a second opinion
on it? So I'll give you an example. Last week I met with a couple. They had gotten an offer from the insurance company. This is an example. She was treating for a year, still isn't quite right with her neck. She was still getting some tingling in her arm and her hand. I had some real concerns about that because I'm not a medical doctor by any means, but I see enough of these cases that I'm like, hey, it sounds to me like you have some sort of nerve impingement there or something's going on with the nerve to cause tingling in your fingers. And she'd been doing, I would say, pretty reasonable chiropractic care for a long period of time, but had not had an MRI recently. And so, you know, they were talking about settling the case. But then, you know, in a conversation with her, I'm like, well, do you get up every morning like you did before the car accident and you feel the same way? Well, no. I mean, I've got issues just about every other day. I continue to have problems. She is in her 40s, which those of us that are in our 40s and 50s don't heal as well as we used to. Sure. We think we should, but we don't. And it takes longer and it's more dramatic sometimes. So we talked our way through all of that. And so the idea is, you know, we see the billboards, what's my case worth, right? We had that analysis about what it is that I thought the case was worth without dealing with future treatment, because I think she still wasn't at maximum medical improvement and she still needed some more treatment. But even then I said, I don't think you're going to be able to get anywhere with the case because of these are the issues that I see are problematic. But I gave them sort of an idea of, all right, well, we charge, you know, X percent for our work. This is what you would end up getting if we worked on the case and what I think the value would be. And then we talked about sort of backing out our fees and costs and what they would end up with in their pocket and to see if they can go get that same sort of offer on their own. Mm-hmm. And I know they're going to be back because I know, and as I told them that, I said, the particular insurance company that you're dealing with right now, I can't get a full offer from them. I'm having to file suit before I can start getting real reasonable offers from them. So you can certainly try it. I think you're going to be wasting your time. I don't want you to do anything stupid in the sense of hurting your case. So keep that in mind, because once you make an offer, they keep track of that stuff. And so I think they're going to end up coming back to me before they do anything. But I've also had it where they don't. Yep. And they do come back 6 months later and say, well, we tried it on our own and we didn't get anywhere. And so now we're wanting you to help us. And we then take over the case. The trouble that people have sometimes is they get themselves sort of pigeonholed in the amounts of money that they're willing to accept. And the insurance company has a long memory about that. They don't want to see your offers go up.
Right.
But, you know, we take it as they come. The best way to do it, like we always talk about, is get us involved early. Get us involved all the way through the process so we can take care of everything for you. And in the end, it's the same percentage. So it doesn't matter for me. And it shouldn't matter for the client because they see all the work that we've done at the end, and it's all adding value and money in their pocket and reducing the amount that they have to pay to subrogation interests and things like that.
Because you get, as an attorney, you get a reputation with the insurance company, with the courts, the judges,
right.
I mean, DAs, whatever. I mean, you get a reputation in the town, too, and the insurance companies know. They can look back at other cases and say, hey,
absolutely,
this guy will sue us.
Right. There's a repository. They know.
Yeah.
I mean, and I get to deal with, you know, the same handful of adjusters for each one of these companies on a regular basis. And they know that I'm decent to deal with, but I'm not going to sell a client short.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if we have problems with the case, we recognize that and we'll deal with it. But if there's not any problems with the case, then they've got to pay full value or we'll try it.
Right.
And that's... that's a good reputation to have because they know they're not going to be able to push you around relating to that, and that you're willing to take the risk and put in, because it's a lot of work to try a case on the plaintiff's side, whether it's a $5,000 case or a $5 million case. There's just a ton of work that needs to be done to pursue those claims, and there are many firms in town that don't want to do it.
Exactly.
And they'll do everything they can to not step foot in that courtroom because from their perspective, they're making less money and working harder to do that. And so they'll do everything they can to try to dissuade people from moving forward with that. At the same time, that's why we've got the two different practice areas. We're in court all the time. That's not something that's bothersome for us. And we do what we need to do to get full value for every case that we get in the door.
Sure.
Yeah.
If you're working on a case on your own, give Kevin a call, 303-806-8886. Again, it's a free consultation. One of two things are going to happen, and we say this all the time, but I'm just going to repeat it real quick. You're either going to find out you're on a good road, and Kevin's going to tell you, hey, that's a fair offer for what you've gone through,
yep,
kind of your injuries. Keep your money. It was nice to meet you.
Right.
Or Kevin's going to feel like he can add value. You get to keep what's on the table, and then – your percentage comes out of anything over and above you get there.
That's right. Yep. Just
resolve that.
It's a great deal for everybody. And that's really, I mean, if we can't add value, I'm not wanting to do it. And if I can't, I don't overpromise because I want to deliver on every case for clients.
Sure.
And I'm disappointed when we can't.
But yep.
That's the nature of the beast. That's why it's the practice of law. So
303-806-8886, fleschlawfirm.com. That's FLESCH lawfirm.com. It's the Legal Hour with Kevin Flesch. We'll be right back.
Fight rising auto insurance premiums by calling Group Insurance Analysts. Paul Lenigro, owner of GIA, has seen a significant spike in auto insurance premiums over the past few years due to the large number of expensive hailstorms in Colorado. You remember last summer when that record-breaking hailstorm caused $1.4 billion in damages? Not just to homes and roofs, but plenty of vehicles took the hit too. And insurance companies are passing the cost right along to you. Now more than ever, you need an insurance advocate who will shop the entire market, hunting for the right coverage at the best price. Paul and his team of analysts will compare the plans of many different insurance companies at no cost to you. Call Group Insurance Analysts today and reevaluate your auto insurance before premiums continue to rise. 303-423-0162.
Hi, this is Kevin Trisna, owner of M4 Roofing and Gutters. Since 2004, it's been our mission to provide the highest quality of service and trust to every customer we serve. M4 Roofing and Gutters is a family-owned and operated company right here in Englewood, Colorado. At M4 Roofing and Gutters, quality customer service is our top priority. For a free inspection and estimate for your roofing project, call today 303-797-8600. That's 303-797-8600. Or visit us online at m4roofing.com. M4 Roofing and Gutters is an A-plus member of the Better Business Bureau and haystackhelp.com.
Hi, this is Scott Watley. Let me tell you what I love about Stack Optical. They are truly one of the last optician-owned, family-owned optical stores. At Stack Optical, you can be confident you'll receive personal attention. For over 50 years, Alan Stack has shown he really cares about making his customers happy. Stack Optical also has a beautiful new location at 2233 South Monaco Parkway in Denver. Free and easy, up-close parking. Stack Optical has an on-site eyeglass production lab. Whether you need office eyewear or a new set of shooting or golf glasses, Stack Optical has the solution with the Stack Sport Pack. Give them a call today and ask for their $69 eye exam, 303-321-1578. That's 303-321-1578. Your eyes and vision are one of the most important things in life. I'm confident at Stack Optical, you'll see the difference. That's 303-321-1578, stackoptical.com.
Rush to Reason with John Rush, weekdays from 3 to 7 on KLZ 560.
Welcome back to the Legal Hour. A few more minutes left here with Kevin Flesh. We are giving you some tips on your personal injury case, or negligence case, and ways not to really hurt your own case. And as Kevin mentioned earlier, the best thing you can do when there's an accident of any kind, give him a call, get him in on it early, and you won't have to worry about any of these things. But we are going to give you a couple extra points here. You know, one thing, Kevin, and you've said this sometimes, where people have tried to handle something on their own, and statute of limitations, and they come to you like 2 days before that or the day of. I mean, man, you talk about a lot of work then. Right.
Yeah, I've got to recreate the wheel, essentially. Right. So, you know, in a car accident case, you've got 3 years from the date of the car accident, generally speaking, to file a lawsuit. And I've had numerous cases. This is the example of the people that wait until 2 days before the three-year statute of limitations runs. It puts me in a bind because I feel bad for people that I just have to help them at that point, file the case, make sure that they keep that statute of limitations, that they toll it, that everything is fine, that they'll still be able to have a claim. But secondarily, those are the individuals a lot of times that have not treated quickly after the accident, and they've sporadically treated. And so it makes it difficult to prove all of those treatments are related and everything is important. So again, it's something that if you come to a professional and talk about the case early on, we can give you a roadmap of, hey, these are the things that are important for you to maximize your recovery. And so if you wait, you know, 3 years to really get serious about your case, there are lots of things that have gone by the wayside in the sense of time that are going to affect the valuation from the insurance company. And so it's just important for people to get in before then. But if you don't, I mean, if you're a person that's sitting on a car accident case from 2015, the second week in November, and you don't know what to do, you need to come in and you need to file the case. And you've got to make sure that you do that. Otherwise, you know, 3 years and a day later, you have missed your opportunity and you'll never be able to recover.
Sure.
Period. I mean, it's clear about that. So just get in and talk to us well in advance of that. Because the other thing that happens is individuals that run into that situation, again, you still have the obligation to prove all of your claims. And if you're missing something that happened from 2.5 years ago that we just can't recreate, it just makes it really difficult.
Yeah. Let's talk about the medical side of a little bit. How important is it to see the right doctor? And by the right doctor, I mean the office, because documentation is everything.
Yeah, so it's really critical. So one of the things that we're finding now is that as soon as a doctor, there are doctors out there in the community that as soon as they find out that your injuries are related to a car accident or there's going to be litigation, they essentially drop you. And you need to know that right away, whether or not your doctor is going to be there in the event that you're making a claim for a car accident. There are specifically Kaiser, for example, is very difficult to deal with when talking about injury claims. Their documentation isn't the greatest. Their doctors don't want to testify in court. They make it extremely difficult to get a hold of the physician to testify. They're just really not interested in being involved in the legal process, which I can understand to some degree, but the majority of the time, all that we're asking a doctor to do is explain what exactly they did for treatment, but they're still not interested in doing that. So if you have a claim, and if you know that that claim is going to be something that you're going to litigate down the road, make sure that you're clear about that with your doctors early on and get physicians that are willing to stand by you and be advocates as well as medical professionals, because those are the individuals that are going to be the best people at trial for, and they don't even have to be the doctors necessarily. I've had some really good luck with physician's assistants in the state of Colorado because they're licensed as well, and that are very involved in the case management and what's going on, and the fact that those individuals testify really well in court. And it's really good to see because they can be star witnesses and not have necessarily a doctor's degree. You know, sure. Chiropractors are good for back injuries, neck injuries, those sorts of things. You just have to get the person that you're comfortable with treating you and that you really believe are going to give you credible medical treatment and get you better as quickly as possible.
And, I mean, it's a 50-50 deal. The doctors, like I say, it's so important for them to do their part, but you got to do your part as a patient and finish that treatment, do it systematically, or that's going
to
hurt you.
That's right, and follow their directions as to what they want to do. The worst patient is the one that listens to the doctor about half the time and does a quarter of what they suggest, because you're never going to follow. You're never going to get the results that the doctor wants you to do, and the doctors sometime will put that in their reports, and those insurance companies look at that, and they keep track of what the doctor's orders are and whether you're following through with them, whether you make all your appointments, whether you're on time. All of those things go to your credibility. And, you know, and I think the other thing that's really important, not talking about medical care, but also just talking about insurance beforehand, before you get into a car accident, you know, we always talk about how the things that really hurt you is in the event that you get hit by someone that either has no insurance or has the minimum limits, which is $25,000, and you don't have any uninsured motorist coverage. People tell me every day they have full coverage, but they never know what that means. Mm-hmm. What you want to make sure when looking at your insurance policy is that you have liability limits. Those are state mandated. That's the $25,000 that you need to have for bodily injury, that you have some sort of collision insurance so that when your car gets hurt, you get that taken care of. And then you want to make sure that you have underinsured, uninsured motorist coverage. And we talk about this at least once a month.
I know, but it's so important.
I know it is. And the other thing is that you have to understand that you have to have the willingness to make a claim against your own insurance. That's why you have it.
Right.
You have underinsured motorist coverage for those times when somebody hits you and does not have the coverage that you think you should have, and that when you get into a serious injury or you have multiple people in your car, it makes a huge impact.
Right.
Because I can make a claim against somebody for millions of dollars, but if they file bankruptcy, you'll get nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got to make sure those insurance levels are out there and that you are doing your part in making sure that if you are hit by someone who just has the minimums or has no insurance, that you have some coverage for yourself through your own insurance.
Right. Kevin, always great information. Thank you, sir.
You bet. Thank you,
sir. 303-806-8886 is Kevin's number. Put that in your phone. Flesh and Beck Law. Website, fleshlawfirm.com. That's FLESCH lawfirm.com. Thanks for joining us today. Check out our website, haystackhelp.com, and our helpline is always there for you. 303-333-HELP. 303-333-4357. Hope you have a great rest of your day and leave it right here on KLZ 560.
Views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of Crawford Broadcasting, the station, management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.